This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
BT's out, back on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
What is going on at the world's most famous arena? I know the Knicks have been on the road here, but man, BT, what a difference a year makes. Last year at this time, we're talking about the comparisons to 94. This is great. Knicks and Rangers could both win championships. This year, the Rangers are lucky if they make the postseason, and they're going backwards. And by the way, I will be in the building tomorrow taking my daughter to her first ever Ranger game, first ever trip to the Garden. Sam Rosen's going to be honored, so it's going to be a huge day at the world's most famous. I hope the Rangers show up for a change. And then the Knicks, I know it's back-to-back. I know no Brunson, but man, that effort against the Hornets last night, there are some red flags about this Knicks team. I'm not giving up hope yet. I want to see Brunson when he comes back with this group. I want to see them in the postseason. But it has been, I use the word discouraged at times throughout the course of this year. The last two games for the Knicks have been as ugly as it's gotten all year long.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not giving up hope. I just don't have any belief that they're going to do anything interesting. They are dying a very slow death here. The Knicks are soft. The Knicks are not connected. The Knicks are not mentally tough. The Knicks are not physically resilient. And I know that they're not fully whole right now, so you want to incorporate that. But, I mean, who are we kidding, dude? You get smoked by the Hornets the day after you get whacked by a team that you were supposed to beat? Like, where is the urgency? Where is the fortitude? Where is the toughness? I mean, they just look broken. I don't know how else to characterize a team and let everybody know, like, what I'm really thinking about a team than saying that Team X looks broken. Because when you say that, there's really nowhere else to go. I guess you could say, well, do you believe that eventually they're going to put the pieces back together? And I'm going to ask myself that question. The answer is no.
See,
and I felt like that all year.
Sorry, BT. I do think that they still can because Brunson's out. It's different because you felt like this all year long, which is fair, and that's fine. I have not because I want to see Mitchell Robinson come back. And now that we've seen Mitchell Robinson come back, and they look a little different, certainly defensively with Robinson back in there, they have no Brunson right now. So I can't judge this team as ugly as it's been, and with the effort being the way that it was, maybe the San Antonio game even worse, just because it wasn't the second of a back-to-back. Without Brunson, I can't judge him yet. I'm not giving him a pass, believe me. I just feel like it's incomplete. So I need to see if and when Brunson comes back and how they look, what in all likelihood will be in the first round by the time Brunson gets back.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I can't prove this, but I'm pretty sure if you put Donovan Mitchell on ice for 4 or 5 weeks, yeah, that the Cavaliers wouldn't like this, wouldn't look like this. I'm pretty sure if you put either Tatum or Jaylen Brown, one of the two, on ice for, you know, a month or so, Celtics wouldn't, you know, implode like this. Like, what the hell's going on? They just look awful.
Yeah, well, thank God for the Johnnies. Who thought I'd ever be
saying right.
That,
BT? That's right.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's go over the calls here. A bunch of different calls. We were talking about the Yankee lineup before and the idea that Paul Goldschmidt could get some reps in the leadoff spot. Jason and Hazlitt wants to chime in on that. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everything going?
Good. What's up?
What's up, Jay?
What are they doing in the Bronx with this lineup? I feel maybe it's just me, but Jazz Chisholm seems to be the most typical person to put in this number one spot. And maybe I'm wrong, but why are they putting Wells there and Goldschmidt? Like, I don't understand what they're doing with this lineup and this roster.
I don't think that, listen, first of all, what they're, it's a great question. What they're doing is they're trying to solve something because they don't have an obvious answer. So that's their fault and that's their problem. So now they're trying unconventional things, you know, a lefty who can't run, who's young, a righty who's 37, who's on base a lot, who can't really run. Even though he's a good base runner, he's not fast. I think the obvious answer is, outside of them not having anybody, I don't think that they think Jazz gets on base enough. I think it's that simple.
And I think it's just simply down to the matchups. And also it could be, if it's outside of the matchups, because clearly Wells and Goldschmidt, if you're going to flip-flop those, that's about matchups. But if they thought Dominguez was going to be the leadoff hitter, then it's about protecting him, at least for a certain period of time. Maybe it's going to be similar to what we saw with Volpe, whether it be last year or the year before, where they're going to try to ease him in. And if Dominguez is on fire and raking for the first month, month and a half, maybe they move him to the leadoff spot and then push everybody else down. Because really, BT, if Dominguez is as good as he's supposed to be, that's why I like the idea that Boone brought up of having Dominguez in the leadoff spot. If he's as good as he's supposed to be, Dominguez, Judge, and I would have Bellinger instead of running a Judge, but whatever. Dominguez, Judge, Bellinger, Wells, that is a Goldschmidt five. Now you're really lengthening out that lineup,
yep,
as
yep,
opposed to having Dominguez being a factor at the bottom of the order.
And not to mention Jazz in that five,
yeah,
or
right,
six hole,
right,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's on base. His career on base percentage, 31%. I mean, that is ghastly. That is atrocious. I mean, imagine, like, we complain about Volpe, but Volpe's only played 2 years. Jazz has played, you know, six full seasons, basically. So I don't know how much he's going to improve. Now he's got power. He can run. And he's going to be an elite fielder at second. He's just not on base a lot. So imagine 4 years from now, if Anthony Volpe has an on-base percentage of 31%, which would only represent a slight uptick from where he is now, and all we do, and rightfully so, is complain about his inability to get on base with frequency. So Jazz, to me, I've always liked him more in the five spot. And the thing about Dominguez, yeah, when Boone told us that, I was like, well, okay. And I was interested and intrigued by that as well. What I didn't like, once I saw, now it's been a couple of weeks, he stabilized the defense, but once we saw his gaffes in the outfield, I remember saying to you on the air, I'm like, oh boy, so this is a recipe for disaster. We're going to have him learn how to play a new position, and it ain't going well at that point. And have him be the tone setter with all this pressure as the leadoff man? I mean, let's just kind of bury him seven or so and let him figure out left field, and it looks like that's what they're going to do.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We also talked about the Giants quarterback situation. Andy's calling from Deer Park. What's up, Andy?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Sal, great day. Listen to you guys every day. You guys do a great, great job.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, Sal.
Question. I mean, I could have sworn I heard his name mentioned a few times, and maybe I'm crazy saying this. How about the quarterback for Arizona? Wouldn't he be a good fit for the Giants?
Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I'd like him better, and thank you for the call, Andy, and for the kind words. Yeah, BT, I'd like him better than I would Russell Wilson
yes.
or Jameis Winston because
yes.
I believe Murray can be more than just a Joey stopgap guy. Now, we don't know, and what we've seen of him, he's been good at times, bad at times, but at least there's the potential, the hope would be to bring him in and have Dable take him to another level. There would be the potential to have him be a franchise quarterback, whereas the other guys are not.
Yeah, I would agree. Did you like Murray coming out of school?
No.
Where were you on him? We weren't working together.
I hated the idea of what Arizona did moving on from Wilkes and Rosen after 1 year to go with Kingsbury, a head coach with no experience just because they had the top pick. So it was less about believing in Murray and
yeah.
more about I just hated that they did what they did. And then now, to prove me wrong, they had success early on, and then obviously it fizzled out and did not end up working there. But I like Kyler Murray. And the size questions coming out, whatever. What would you think of Murray? Do you like him coming out of school?
I wasn't sure. I remember me and Teak actually had him on the show with the Super Bowl, and both of us were like, man, he's small.
Yeah, I know.
And we knew, everybody knew he was small, but like when you actually stood next to him as we did, I'm like, you know, and then he was playing baseball. I think he was the 11th pick, I want to say, maybe, of whatever it was, of the A's, and we didn't really know what he was going to do. I mean, this is year 7 already for Kyler Murray. But
wow, is it that long already?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I thought it feels more like 5 or so.
Yeah.
It's year 7, and he had the knee injury. So, you know, that's okay, but he's over it. You know, I didn't realize this. His completion percentage last year in 17 games was almost 70%. It's the most second most yards he's thrown for the season, 20-plus touchdowns, ran for over 500 yards. And, you know,
he's dangerous, man.
He is dangerous. And he would represent a lot of things for the Giants. Hope, youthful, dynamic energy, and a possibility to be a bridge, not just for this year, but, you know, if he's the real deal and Dable works, if there's good synergy there, he could be the Giants quarterback for 7, 8, 10 years if it works.
Right. His name has come up. I don't know if it's other than rumors from fans or speculation. I don't know if it's how legitimate it would be if Arizona really wanted to move him or not. But he fits the mold of what I'm looking for them to get. A
yes.
quarterback with potential to be the franchise guy, whether it is from the draft or elsewhere. That's why I was okay with getting Stafford, because at least, okay, forget the rookie quarterback, because when you get Stafford, you know you have your franchise quarterback, even if it is for 3 years minimum, you would think, with Matthew Stafford. Rodgers is not that. And now, you know, to bring us back home here in case you missed it, there's a report that Rodgers is in the building today in Pittsburgh. Nothing definitive, but the fact that he would be meeting with the Steelers today may indicate that maybe they're getting closer to a deal, which would leave the Giants again, out on a guy that they were targeting, much like Matthew Stafford. BT,
yep,
go ahead, BT.
I'm finish up. My bad. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to go to break, so go ahead.
I was going to say real fast. So when he was coming out, we shared the same opinion. We seem to share the same opinion now with Kyler Murray, but you have to incorporate the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, 5 years, he signed this in July of 2022. 5 years, $230+ million, $160 million guarantee, blah, blah, blah. So while we think he represents possibility for the Giants, and we like him, though, we're going to stop short of saying we love him, wouldn't it be more enticing to roll the dice on a young quarterback who might be as dynamic without the money?
Yeah. Yes. Which is why you need to do it that way most of the time. You would think that the most appealing thing in the sport would be the young quarterback with potential that you can draft and develop. You have to identify him. Check one, identify the right one, not just because you have the top pick. Oh, I have the top pick. No, you have to identify one. Sean Payton did it. Atlanta thinks that they did it. Minnesota thinks that they did it all year ago. Identify the right, obviously, you know, New England and Washington as well. Chicago. I mean, look at how many teams did it in last year's draft alone.
Packers a couple of years ago.
Right.
Even Bryce Young's coming around Carolina.
Identify the right one, then develop him. The Giants haven't even begun to identify one yet under this regime of Shane and Dable. We'll come back and finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.